Today's New Testament reading is from Colossians chapter 1, verses 11 to 20. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace with the blood of his cross. The word of God for the people of God.
This is a Sunday of the church year that wears many hats. It is, of course, right before Thanksgiving here in the U.S., so it's Thanksgiving Sunday, as it says at the top of your bulletin. It's also designated as Christ the King or Reign of Christ Sunday. And it's also technically the last Sunday of the liturgical year. Now, when I was in seminary, some of my pastor friends would wring their hands over this and they would say, oh, that's such a hard Sunday because you have to choose. Are you going to do Thanksgiving? Or what about Christ the King? Or do you do a New Year's Eve party? Like, whatever will you do? And every year when it comes around, I see how you don't have to choose. It's all wrapped up into one thing. They're all really related. So first, in terms of it being the last Sunday of the church year, next Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent. And it makes sense that you would start a new church year with Advent, the preparation time for the coming of Christ, lighting candles to prepare for the coming of the light of the world. That seems like a new year thing to do. So if that's the new year, how would you want to end the old year? Well, I think it makes a lot of sense that you would want to end the year with the proclamation that Jesus is Lord, that everything that happened in the prior year can only be seen in light of Christ's lordship and kingship, that all we have endured in the past year, we have been able to endure because Jesus has been with us, and that all we've been blessed with in the past year has come as a gift of God to be shared with others. If you're going to put a period or an exclamation point on the end of a church year, there is no better proclamation than to say, Jesus Christ is King. It's also good to have Christ the King and Advent right up next to each other because it's a reminder that when we get ready for the coming of the Christ child, it's not some kind of baby shower for a cute, chubby-cheeked infant. It is the welcoming of one who is King, whose reign will have no end. So that's the New Year's Eve part of it. So this is the week if you want to have parties and ball drops and things. Liturgically, now's the time. So now let's talk about Christ the King Sunday. It hasn't always been called that. It started when Pope Pius XI looked around at the world around him and said, we need a Sunday to affirm that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he is King, that he reigns. This occurred in 1925. I bet you thought it was like 925. 1925. So I said to myself, what was going on that would make a pope, a busy pope, pick up his pen and decide what we needed was a reminder of Christ's kingship? So I looked it up. In January of 1925, Benito Mussolini made a speech to the Italian parliament that many people credit as the start of his dictatorship. In March of that year, Calvin Coolidge was sworn in for a full term as president of the U.S. And everybody was kind of there because it was the first inauguration that was broadcast on the radio. 1925 was the year that a young Adolf Hitler published the first volume of his autobiography. It was also the year that communists stormed a church in Bulgaria, killing 150 people there. And it was the year Mount Rushmore was dedicated. And in December of 1925, Pope Pius took out his pen and issued the encyclical initiating the feast of Christ the King. Now, Protestants don't generally pay too much attention to papal encyclicals, but the Protestant church got on board too because of the need to affirm the lordship, the kingship of Christ, when so many other people and so many other things seem to be applying to sit on that throne instead of Jesus. No wonder the Pope looked around and said, we need a reminder of who's in charge here. And I think that reminder is certainly needed in 2019, if it has ever been needed. The community of Colossians, to whom the letter is written that was read for us today, the young church there was being persecuted and oppressed from all sides. From Gentile pagans, and also by the Jewish community too, neither of whom would have said that Christ was king of anything. They needed reminding in the midst of real suffering that there is a king on the throne, and it is not Caesar. It certainly is not Mussolini. It's not even a good king like one of those Mount Rushmore guys. In fact, if we were to close our eyes right now and think of the best ruler that we know of, the best earthly ruler, the best president, maybe the best boss you ever had, it's not them. They are not really in charge. It's not that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Mark Zuckerberg or Bill Gates or Donald Trump or Barack Obama is Lord. That's not it. Who is Lord? Jesus. Mary's baby is Lord. We ought to install seat belts in here. That is a shocking thing to say. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is King and he reigns. So when you're looking at an epistle in the Bible, sometimes it's good to break it up into small chunks. So that's what we're going to try and do today. We're going to walk through this. We're going to see what we can learn about Christ's lordship for us today. This letter is attributed to Paul, but scholars think it was written by one of his followers, probably. This letter to the community under persecution. So let's turn to the text. May you be strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks to the Father. If I were under persecution, this wouldn't be the best way to start the letter, because it says I'm going to have to be strong. When Jesus is king in a world full of pretend kings, keeping a lot of thrones worn temporarily, you still have to endure hardship. There is still sickness. There is still evil in the world. There's still hard times. The times in the valley. The times in the shadow. But if Jesus Christ is King, we are given strength that comes from God's power to endure what we have to endure, to give thanks to the Father, and even to have joy. I think it says joyfully in there. In our baptismal vows, it does not say, congratulations, now that you're baptized, it's all going to be easy for you. It does say, do you accept the freedom and power that God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Means we're probably going to have to deal with evil, injustice, and oppression. It also means we are not neutral when it comes to evil, injustice, and oppression. God gives us freedom and power. Do we accept that? To use it for that purpose? When we baptize somebody, we say, do you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and promise to serve him as King, right? And if you do accept Jesus Christ as your Lord, you know that he's the one who is really in charge. He is the one to whom we will be accountable. And a lot of people are really scared about that. And I said, well, there's a saying, a good lawyer knows the law, a great lawyer knows the judge. And we know the judge. Who is the judge? Mary's baby is the judge. The lover of the poor, the outcast, the sick, the foreigner, the orphan. This Jesus is King. And if that is the case, we are given strength that comes from his power to endure and to give thanks because we know who is in charge, and to have joy because we know who is in charge. And this King is going to have his way. In the end, we will discover that the way the kingdom of God is the way things are called to be. The folks on the margins are really in the middle. The love and wholeness that Jesus offers is the cure for what ails us. And the day will come, church, when justice will roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. And we're called to be a part of that today. And we will discover that the baby from Nazareth is the one who's been on the throne all along. So we are called to give thanks to God. And then the writer describes why. This God has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints of light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom thing of his beloved Son, Jesus, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So we are given an inheritance with the saints. That means we don't have to be paralyzed by fear. We don't have to be afraid of all the things we're so afraid of. Why? We have a treasure with the saints. We certainly don't have to be afraid of death. And we don't have to be afraid of anything in this life that we think will steal our treasure from us because we have an inheritance with the saints. We can have joy today of people who live as saints because we know who is on the throne and we know where our blessings come from. We know that God is a provider. So that means we can be generous. The scripture says, God has rescued us from the power of darkness. Did you notice it doesn't say God has rescued us from darkness? No. We'll still have to deal with some dark spaces, but we are not under its power. Why? We have the light of Christ. Who better to send into dark places than people with a light? So we don't need to be afraid when the sun goes down. And we need to be thankful because we have been transferred into the kingdom of Christ. God gives us a new passport, a new address, a new citizenship. And this identity in Christ is primary to all our other identities. Sometimes when you know Christ as King and your identity in Christ is primary, it can lead to some complications. I was reminded of a story that Will Willimon tells. He was dean of Duke Chapel. He preached to a lot of undergraduates. He got an angry call from a father one day, and the dad said, what kind of thing are you doing down there? And he said, hello, what are you talking about? Turns out, this guy's daughter was going to now switch her major from something else to something less lucrative and was going to go work for the Peace Corps. And the dad was like, what in the world have you done? We sent her down there. We only want her to be a Presbyterian, for Christ's sake. And Will said something like, don't get mad at me. I only had her for 4 years. You had her for a long time before that. You need to get mad at her Sunday school teacher. You need to get mad at the preacher that baptized her and the parents that let it happen. When I was in law school, my dad would say the scariest thing that he knew of was a lawyer that was not afraid to go to jail. I think he meant that in the context of like the civil rights crusade, you know, lawyer as advocate, lawyer as pursuer of justice. I would say the scariest thing I know is a Christian that's not afraid to live out their baptismal vows, not afraid to put Christ first in their life. Let's turn back to the text. He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things. In him all things hold together. This is a way to say to the church, Jesus is not just a super nice guy. Jesus is not just a wise teacher who had good ideas. Jesus is one with the Father. In John, which is a little more familiar to us maybe than Colossians, the writer puts it this way. In the beginning was the Word, has a capital W. It's referring to the Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. The writer of Colossians tells us Christ is the image of the invisible God. The visible image of the invisible God. The writer of John puts it this way. No one has ever seen God. God's invisible. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made God known. God is invisible. Mighty wind, burning bush, invisible. But if you want to see what God looks like, the closest thing you can do is look at Jesus. Want to see God made visible? Jesus is God made visible. Look at who he is. Look at what he says. Look at what he does. Look at Jesus feeding the 5,000. Look at Jesus in the temple. When he got all mad and he turned over the tables of the people who were trying to put barriers up between people and God. Look at Jesus healing the sick, raising the dead, bringing good news to the poor, proclaiming release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, setting at liberty those who are oppressed. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. When what we proclaim about God is inconsistent with what we know of Jesus, it could be time to just look again at what we proclaim about God. I'm not saying change it. I'm saying look twice. Why? Because Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. And if you want to get away from Christ's kingship, it actually gets worse. Because it turns out that Christ is also the head of the body, the church. Bet you thought it was leadership board or trustees. Christ is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so he may come to have first place in everything. I was walking into the choir room last week to pray with some folks that were singing at 8 o'clock, and someone said, "Here comes the boss." And so, to be funny, I looked behind me, you know. And she laughed and said, "Pastor, shouldn't you be looking up?" Right. She's right. Christ is the head of the body, the church. And that's great news because it means very freeing, right? It means we're not in charge, thanks be to God. But it also means everything we do as a church is under Christ's orders. Everything we do. So when we offer welcome to our neighbors, we are offering it in Christ's name. We're offering the welcome that Christ offers. When we show love to our neighbors, we're showing the love that Christ offers. When we show mercy or healing or forgiveness, we're doing it in the name of Christ, who is our head. When we give of our time, talents, and treasures, we put them to Christ's use. Why? He's the head of the body, the church. So that's Christ the King. What does this have to do with Thanksgiving? Well, that is the holiday to give thanks for family, friends, food, faith. And where I come from, there's another F, football, that's involved. We give thanks to God because we know that it is God who is the giver of every good and perfect gift. People who know Christ as King can give thanks with all their hearts because they know the giver. The giver is the one who is King, the one to whom we offer laments and complaints, and God wants to hear those. But also, God is the place to put our gratitude to. And if we really knew and really appreciated what God does for us, I think our gratitude line would be way longer than our complaint line would be. When you know that Christ is King, it's not just that you feel lucky for what you have. You know that if we're blessed, we're blessed to be a blessing. And when you have something like Thanksgiving under the kingship of Christ, you know that your King would have us share what we have with the hungry and the poor and the children. That is why Advent is the time that it feels like we have 85 donation baskets out there. Why? It's not our birthday that's coming. It's the baby Jesus. Christ is King. He would have us share. At any point in your life and ministry, if you're gathering neighbors and you run out of chairs, if you're setting food this Thanksgiving and you run out of chairs, Christ the King would have us build a bigger table and welcome more people. Once a month or so at this service, we have the Lord's Supper, communion, around this table or one like it. They also call communion Eucharist. Thanksgiving is what that word means. Because when Christ is King, the response is thanksgiving and generosity and love. I'll close with a word from Matthew, the Message version. When he finally arrives, blazing in beauty and all his angels with him, the Son of Man will take his place on his glorious throne. and all the nations will be arranged before him, and he will sort people out, much as a shepherd sorts out sheep and goats, putting the sheep to his right and the goats to his left. And the king will say to those on his right, enter, you who are blessed by my Father. Take what's coming to you in this kingdom. It's been ready for you since the world's foundation. And here's why. I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was homeless and you gave me a room. I was shivering and you gave me clothes. I was sick and you stopped to visit. I was in prison and you came to me. And the sheep are going to say, Master, what are you talking about? When did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we ever see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will say, I'm telling you the solemn truth. Whenever you did one of these things to someone overlooked or ignored, that was me. You did it to me. Church, Jesus Christ is Lord. We live in his kingdom. We are his subjects. And that's the best reason I can think of to have a Thanksgiving. Long live the King.